what you gave us was wonderful. He's helping so much. But still, it's so difficult to chant. Why is it so difficult to chant? So, what I thought we'd do today is look at the different reasons that make for difficult chanting. Because in any circumstance, we always like to know what is the favorable, what is the unfavorable. And we like to know how to deal with both situations. So, I'm thinking that last week we decided that we would like to be conscious cooperators with the Holy Name. We looked at the alternatives, chanting mechanically, unconsciously, no real plan, decided that wasn't for us. We looked at the more passionate way of doing it, saw the limitations of that, decided also that's not for us. So we decided, okay, we think what we'd like to do is be a conscious cooperator. Now sometimes when we have a new plan and we find that there are still difficulties, then maybe some doubts come to mind. Does Krishna really want this? Does Prabhupada really want this? So I thought the first thing we'd do today is look at what Prabhupada and Krishna have to say about this idea. And then we can be peaceful that what we're doing is what they'd like us to do. Would you like to hand out the sheets? Thanks very much. You having trouble with the fan, Mataji? Maybe we can turn this one off and you can sit here. Just try the switch until you find the one that turns it off. Okay. Then you can be more peaceful. Yeah, take one each. Okay. Hari Bol, dearie. Please take a chair. Hare Krishna. Do you need a chair, Mataji? Do you need a chair? You're okay? Fine. So let's see. I'd like you to repeat each line after me. Marchita sabadugani. Ma prasada karishyasi. Atachetva mahankara. Nasrosyasi vihankshasi. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. So what do you think? Does Krishna like this idea of you being a conscious cooperator? He's not only saying he likes it, he's saying if you don't do it, you're going to have a lot of trouble. So let's see what Prabhupada has to say. A person in full Krishna consciousness is not unduly anxious about executing the duties of his existence. The foolish cannot understand this great freedom from all anxiety. For one who acts in Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna becomes the most intimate friend. He always looks after his friend's comfort, and he gives himself to his friend, who is so devotedly engaged working 24 hours a day to please the Lord. Therefore, no one should be carried away by the false ego of the bodily concept of life. One should not falsely think himself independent of the laws of material nature or free to act. He is already under strict material laws. But as soon as he acts in Krishna consciousness, he is liberated, free from the material perplexities. One should note very carefully that one who is not active in Krishna consciousness is losing himself in the material whirlpool, in the ocean of birth and death. No conditioned soul actually knows what is to be done and what is not to be done. But a person who acts in Krishna consciousness is free to act, because everything is prompted by Krishna from within and confirmed by the spiritual master. Sounds like the idea is a good one. So why are we still having difficulty in our chanting? We're going to look at different ideas. The first one I will explain by giving the example of a person who has had a stroke. I've had personal experience of this. Before the stroke, the whole body is functioning very wonderfully. Everything is moving as it should. But then, by some higher arrangement, we have this stroke. Most of the body is functioning well, but we find there is some difficulty with the right arm. The hand is very, very weak, can't clasp things, dropping things when we try. Now, our tendency, Hare Krishna, please take a sheet. Do any of you need chairs, or are you okay on the floor? Okay? Fine. So our tendency when we have a weakness is to use our strengths, isn't it? So my right hand is weak. I'll do everything with my left hand. Thank you very, very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Just put them here for now, and if older ladies come, we'll use them. Thank you. That's enough, Prabhu. No more is required. That's fine. That's good. Thank you very much. Okay. So we find that in such a circumstance, when we're having trouble with the right hand, we use the left hand to do everything. But if we're under the care of a loving therapeutic nurse, she say, don't do that. Hare Krishna. So why is she saying, don't do that? Why would she say such a thing? Would you like a chair, Prabhu?
Yeah.
Please take one. Yeah, there's plenty here. Just where you feel comfortable to sit, choose a chair. Why would she say that? Any idea? Excuse me? Very good point. If we don't strengthen that right hand, we'll lose the power of the right hand, isn't it? In fact, we may experience atrophy. The circumstance will become so bad that the whole muscle of the arm will become spoiled. So after 2 years, we decide, no, I should try and correct this. I'll try and strengthen the right hand. It's too late. We can't do it. So just as we have a left hand and a right hand, we have two natures that we have to deal with. We have the conditional nature, how we identify ourselves now, and we have our constitutional or our spiritual nature. Our conditional nature is very, very strong. We have a very clear idea who I am, what I'm doing. Isn't it? Very, very strong. What about the spiritual side? Is it strong or is it weak? It's weak. So when we have a weak muscle, we have to exercise it. There are different ways that we can do this. Our practices in spiritual life are helping us to develop our spiritual nature. But we have to be aware that one of the reasons that chanting is so difficult is because our conditional nature is so strong and our spiritual nature is quite weak. So this means that we have to be very carefully seeking good guidance, and we have to be prepared to be patient and realize it's going to take some time to strengthen that muscle. It may take 6 weeks, 6 months, may take a long time to recover from a stroke, isn't it? So in the same way, if there's a weakness, we have to think, okay, I have a weakness, I'm not going to be able to deal with it overnight. I'll have to take some time. I'm prepared to do that. The result will be worth it. So this is one thing that we can have a look at. This idea that we have the two sides to our nature. One of them is strong and sometimes even impedes our spiritual life, and the other is weak. So there's another reason Well, there are many reasons, but the next reason that we'll look at, the difficulty that arises from the problem called inattention. Now, I want to deal with this quite scientifically because it's important to understand clearly what the problem is. If you understand very clearly, for example, someone in your family is very, very sick. Very sick. Constant high fevers, can't eat anything, always weak. Now, if you don't know what that illness is, it's going to be a complete disturbance to you, especially if it's your child. You have so many duties to do in a day, but all you can think of, what's happening with my child? How am I going to help my child? Prabhu, please don't open that. The gas is too bad. Please tell him in Hindi not to open. The fumes are terrible. Please don't open that one, huh? So we have great disturbance. All the other chores in the house don't get done properly because we're worried. I don't know what's wrong with my child. But then qualified physician comes in, family doctor. He says, it's quite serious, but we can handle it quite simply. Do this for diet, full rest, take this medication, have these tests done. Then even though we know it's a serious problem, just because we know how to deal with it, life is a lot easier. We're not so distressed by the circumstance. So in the same way, at the moment, we're not sure why we're having difficulty with our chanting. So it's very disturbing to us. But when we start to analyze scientifically, according to the yoga, bhakti yoga, philosophy and practice, then, okay, we have a perspective, we can start acting in the proper way, taking the right medicines, and all we have to do is be a little patient. So let's have a look at the analysis that our acharyas give us. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Adibaba, please come in. If you need a seat, please take one and feel comfortable. It's a loud warning signal that we're in for a little bit of heavy work. For those of you who come to the temple in the morning for Mangalarti, after Mangalarti we recite the 10 offenses to the holy name. 1, 2, 3, 4, right through to 10. And then at the end we say, it is also an offense to chant inattentively. Now the way we say this, it makes it seem as if this is not so important. Especially because of our materialistic backgrounds, we may have that interpretation. Because the materialist always puts what's least important to him at the end. But in the Vedic science, whatever the speaker wants to stress as being crucial, as being very important to understand, they'll say last. Whatever is their opinion, they will say last. It's a matter of culture also. For example, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada is talking about Rupa Goswami's position in the spiritual sky in Golok Vrindavan. And because we don't want to offend the Vaishnavas, especially someone of Prabhupada's culture and caliber, he doesn't say, these people are wrong, I'm right. This is not the way we do it in Vedic culture. What he says is some say that Rupa Goswami is, Raghunath Goswami is Rasa Manjari. Raghunath Goswami is Rasa Manjari. While others say that he is Rati Manjari. Now those that know the science, they will know, Prabhupada thinks he's Rati Manjari. His understanding is that he's Rati Manjari. So he's having the last word, so to speak. So this is what is happening also when we recite the 10 offenses. This pramada, or this inattention, this is the most important of the 10 aparadhas. Let's have a read and see how we can understand this. Pramada, it is also an offense to chant inattentively. In fact, all other offenses are born of this offense. Please take sheets, girls. There's plenty here.
No problem.
Anybody else that doesn't have? Please hand them out, a few devotees. Inattentiveness and negligence are synonymous. Negligent chanting sows the seeds of anattas, which soon fructify. This is a very simple concept to understand. Say we're in the garden. We have a beautiful rose garden. We're very proud of it. We bring roses every day to the deities. And we're very carefully watering this rose garden. Our neighbor calls us, and we turn around. Where does the hose go? It's no longer on the roses, isn't it? We turn around to pay attention to something else, and we water something else. So we can understand that if we're chanting with attention, we're watering the creeper of devotion. And if we're not, if we're listening to our neighbor, the mind, who's calling us in so many different ways, we're watering weeds. We have to be aware of this. Simple thing, check yourself every day. Am I watering weeds or am I watering my roses? Simple little test we can do. Pramada or inattentiveness is of three kinds, Odasinya, Dadya, and Vikshepa. Vikshepa is the most dangerous, for as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, distraction in chanting produces a type of illusion, causing serious offenses against the holy name that are very difficult to overcome. So not only is it a serious mistake not to be attentive when you chant, not only is it bad, but it also creates more difficulty. It's not a neutral circumstance. You're creating difficulties for yourself by chanting inattentively. So this illusion leads to craving for wealth, the opposite sex, position, success, and even cheating. When these attractions cover the heart, the offender loses interest in chanting the holy name. Ever had that experience? You really don't have any interest in chanting. We go through these periods. So let's have a look at these three different kinds of inattention. Odasinya, symptoms of it, apathy, indifference, no fixed resolve in bhajan. One day four rounds, one day 16, one day two, one day 10. No fixed resolve in our chanting. Now, we're not really so much concerned with the problem as with the cure. So let's have a look at the ways we can defend ourselves in this situation. First defense, chant in the association of saintly devotees and imbibe their mood. Check their mood and try and have a similar kind of mood. Associating with such devotees, take up their discipline. Ask them, I see you have a taste for the holy name. How do you spend your day? How do you maintain that taste? Ask questions. You know, if you see that a mother is looking after a child very, very nicely, she knows where to buy the right things for the right price, you want to know, don't you? So you don't just sit there and think she's going to tell you, you ask her. I really like the way your child's dressed, but you don't seem to spend a lot of money. Tell me your secret, isn't it? So we ask. Third one, chant with Tulsi Devi, or at the pastime places of Krishna and his devotees. So you have the good fortune to go on yatra very, very often. Not of all of the time you spend in the big group. So sneak away for a little while when you're out on yatra. Spend time in the holy places and beg for the mercy of those places and of the personalities who perform their leela there. Fourth one, perform as much Nam Sankirtan as possible. You'll find that this item is in all three categories as a defense. The reason for that is that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they both explain that the easiest way to deal with anattas is through Nam Sankirtan. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a beautiful example. We are growing rice. We have two choices for weeding the field. Would you like a chair, Didi? You okay? You're fine? Please take a sheet. Thanks. So there are two ways that we can weed the field. We can break our backs, being out in the hot sun, bending over, 1, 2, 3, 4, 10,000, 11,000. We can do it that way. Very exhausting. Very time-consuming. But there's another way that we can look after our rice field. In the evening, we can flood that field with water. The rice, Hare Krishna, the rice is very happy in that environment, likes a lot of water. But the weeds, what happens to the weeds? They die. So in the same way, we can be nitpicking, wondering, oh, I have this problem, I have this weakness, oh, what about that one? Oh, so much to deal with. We can do it that way. Or we can say, let me just absorb myself in Nam Sankirtan. Come to the temple whenever I can and chant the holy name with the devotees. This is like flooding the field with water. It's the simplest, easiest way to deal with the dirt that's in the heart. Very wonderful way to deal with it. So always remember this. Second kind of inattention is jadya. We all have experience of this also. Laziness in chanting. We interrupt it to do something else, or we take rest. Especially if we chant our japa at home. Nobody is watching, isn't it? I was up till 3 o'clock with my little boy. I'm trying to chant my rounds, but nobody's watching. I think I need to take a little more sleep. We can all identify with this. And of course, we do need our sleep. So how do we defend ourselves in this one? Associate with devotees who don't waste time engaging in useless talk or activity. This means a person who is actually focused. They're not meandering through their life. They actually have a very clear focus. So we want to develop that focus also. So see, we associate with such people. We observe them carefully and we try to follow their example. Again, perform as much Nam Sankirtan as possible. Vikshepa, this is the real problem. This is the real killer. If we are having difficulty in our spiritual life, especially in our chanting, and we're being very, very careful not to offend the devotees, we're really trying hard not to offend the devotees, then we can be almost 100% sure that this distraction during our chanting, this inattention during our chanting, is the cause of the problem. In fact, it's the root cause of all the other offenses. So how can we deal with this? Regularly check your chanting sincerely. Concentrate on the quality of your chanting and pronounce the mantra clearly. Make a constant effort to fix the mind on hearing Nam. Try to absorb yourself in more chanting on Ekadasi, appearance days, etc. Regularly spend some time alone in a quiet place, trying to concentrate deeply on your chanting. Take shelter of Srila Prabhupada and chant with his japa tape. Perform as much Nam Sankirtan as possible. Beg the holy name for his mercy, the genuine humility. Are there any questions about this? Anything you're not sure about? Anything you want clarified? It's all okay? Yeah? So that was quite heavy. We need a little bit of nectar now to resuscitate ourselves. So let's just read through some very beautiful prayers. Last week we dealt with quite some prayers from the Acharyas, and I've heard that they were quite useful during the week in our attempts to chant without distraction. So we may also like to try these. Before we read them through, I bring your attention to the little box at the bottom here. This is to give us an idea of what we are actually trying to do by using these prayers. We don't want the prayers to be a distraction. Rather, we're trying to chant the holy name, but when the mind becomes distracted, we use these transcendental hooks to pull it back. Isn't it? So it's only when the mind is distracted that we use these prayers, not otherwise. Otherwise, they become a source of distraction. So let's put it into a very beautiful focus. The bird of the mind flies on two wings, the past and the future. O mind, cut those wings. Be here now. Just hear, chant, and remember. And let me learn to love, serve, and surrender. Now, this is most difficult for we women to do. It's not because we're less intelligent. It's because of the nature of our duties. Our duties request or require us to be constantly distracted. We have a husband that wants this and that. We have a child that wants this and that. We're the ones that take the responsibility for making sure the child is clothed, dressed, you know, clothed, takes his meals, gets to school on time, has the things he needs. We take care of his health. It's not the husband that's up till 3 o'clock in the morning looking after the child, unless he's an exceptional husband. It's us, isn't it? So by the very nature of our duties as women, our duties as wives and mothers, we have a big trouble with distraction. So we have to be really praying to overcome this. It can be done because, in essence, we're Krishna's devotees. We're in Rupa Goswami's family. We're in Prabhupada's family. We're family members. Prabhupada, Rupa Goswami will help us. It's just a matter of asking them, sincerely asking them. So bear this in mind. It won't be easy because of the nature of our duties, but it can be done if we take proper shelter. So let's have a read through these prayers. Something to help us overcome distraction. O Nam, when will that day come when I will take on the mood and behavior of your unalloyed eternal servant? Then all other distracting desires of my mind will automatically become totally exhausted, and I will be able to wholeheartedly render service unto you, my eternal master. To improve attention, O Krishna, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has warned us that inattention is the main door into the house of aparads. O Krishna, please let me taste some pleasure in your names, so that I can focus my full attention on chanting. May your holy names become deeply impressed in my mind. To increase attraction, O Krishna, there is so much attraction within me, but why don't I have any attraction to your holy names? I'm attracted to so many sweet sounds, forms, tastes, smells, and objects of touch, but all these material attractions pull me further and further away from you. My favorite attractions are in reality nothing but distractions from you. O Krishna, please enchant my heart and captivate my restless mind. Please bless me with a matchless wealth of attractions to your holy names. To develop attachment. O Krishna, by nature I'm attached to so many wrong things. Please help me to transfer all my attachments to your lotus feet. O my Lord, may chanting Hare Krishna become an inseparable part of my life. Please help me to chant your holy names with pure attachment. To develop affection. O Krishna, may I chant your holy names with heartfelt emotion. O when will I become charmed by the ambrosia of your names and start chanting from the heart? O Krishna, please help me to chant with sincere feelings of affection for you, for Radhika, and for your holy names. Please show me the way to chant with a genuine affection, which will ripen into pure love for you. To achieve all of the above, O Krishna, please attract my mind and heart to your holy names. May I chant with full attention, and may I quickly become absorbed in the nectarian taste of your names. May the sweet charms of your names drive out all distractions, and fully enchant my heart. Please give me strong attachment to your wonderful names. Please be merciful to me and help me to rise to the platform of genuine affection and pure love only for you. Such beautiful prayers, and I'm sure that many of us can identify with them. Now, I'd like to do a little exercise now. If we could have someone hand around this bag, it has little pieces of paper in it with a clip on the top. I want you to take one of these from the bag. When we all have one, we'll do our little exercise. I'm not going to tell you the secret. It'll spoil the fun. Okay. Thanks very much. Now, we all have a little packet with cellophane colors in it. I'm going to say some names. If any of them describe you, I want you to take one of those papers out from your packet and hold it in your other hand. Okay? Woman. Young. Do we have the idea? Do I need to explain myself? Everyone's clear? Okay. Indian. Elephant, sea, intelligent, beautiful, man, child. Okay. So how many, just check you have this number in your hands. Put the others aside, put them under a piece of paper or something. Just keep the ones that are your score in your hand. Okay. Now I want you to put them up and have a look through them. All together, put them all together and have a look through them. Okay, have a good look. See what your worldview is like. Okay, Premlila, can you please come out because I need your help. Bring your chair. I don't know all of your names, so I need help from a friend. So Premlila is going to call on you by name, and I want you to tell her the color of your world view. What is the color that you're seeing at this point in time? When you look through, what color are you seeing? Okay, you call on a few people now.
Sudin.
Black. Okay, very dark. Can you actually see through it? Okay, but it's very dark. Okay.
Padmavati.
Can you see through it? No?
Dark.
Okay. Can't see through those four layers of color. Call on someone else.
Lalita Premavati. No.
Can't see through? Okay. Someone else? Can't see through it. Okay. What about this mother? Dark green.
Dark green? Dark green.
Okay. Call on a few others.
Shubha.
Purplish blue. You can see through, huh? Okay. Fine. Anyone else?
Desi.
Red?
Red.
Okay.
Orange. Orange. Green. Get green.
Okay. So we can understand that many of us can't see through.
Black.
And the rest of us, we are seeing completely different things, isn't it? Okay, thank you. What I would like you to do now is to take those four pieces of paper and put the clip back on them. because I'll need them for another exercise a little bit later. Okay. What we're going to do now is look at some of Maya Devi's other tricks. And this little exercise we did now is an introduction to it. We could hand the sheets out. Remember that we're discussing why we are having difficulty in chanting. So since our last workshop, I understand that many of us have been making a conscious effort to chant with attention, but it's proving difficult. This inattention has very, very deep roots. Now, if every day we are just coming and cutting the top of the plant, of the weed, we're not touching the root, we're going to become very frustrated. Because every day we have to cut, isn't it? It may take a little more endeavor, but isn't it a better idea to pull the whole thing out by the root? Then we can actually taste the holy name. So let's have a look at these roots that are causing us problems. The first one is misidentification. We've just done a little exercise with pieces of cellophane paper. What we can understand from this, we identify in a certain way. And that way that we identify is putting layers on our heart. It's covering our consciousness. I am woman. I am young. I'm intelligent. I'm not intelligent. All these things are putting layers and layers on our heart. Every morning, we're trying to take them off. Chetodapanamajanam. But the very way in which we are identifying is putting them back. So let's have a look. Hare Krishna, Didi. Would you like a chair? There's a chair here for you. I think you'd be more comfortable. You okay? So let's have a look at how this works. See the chart? No problem? Can you see my picture? Okay. So we take on a sense of identity. This very strongly shapes our desiring. A beggar on the street will desire differently than a small child at school. Why? They have a different identity. Our desiring will have a very strong impact on how we discriminate and how we set our priorities. That will influence our thinking and our planning. Our thinking and planning, our feelings are wound around those. And it's our feeling that drives us to do something, to will to do it. This willing will bring our action. And our action will determine our destination. So what we've discovered by doing this little exercise is that we are taking on many designations that are hindering our chanting of the holy name. It's such a simple thing, but it's a major disturbance. Now how do we deal with that? We have to find that designation which doesn't cover our heart, but actually helps to uncover it. There are many such wonderful designations in the scriptures. I'd like to give you one of my favorites. And I'm sure if you learn this mantra, you chant it not only when you're having trouble with your chanting, but when you're having trouble with your husband, having trouble with your child, having trouble with your body. Anytime you're having trouble, if you use this mantra, you'll find life is a lot easier. But let's have a look at what this mantra is. go two ways, it wouldn't take so long then. This is a very, very special mantra given in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Advaitacharya. Now, it's very significant that it's Advaitacharya that is given this mantra. He is actually Mahavishnu. He is the one who creates the whole environment, the whole playground for us to pretend we're something we're not. He also is known as Sadashiva. So Sadashiva's worshipable Lord, the one he's meditating on, is Sankarshan. Sankarshan is the Lord of false ego. So we can understand that Advaita Acharya knows what he's talking about when he gives this identity. The other thing we have to remember is that he is what we call the Pancharatrik Vidhi Ashraya. What does that mean? That means that all of our sadhana bhakti, all of our vaidhi bhakti practices, is under his shelter. He's like our Maha Counselor. He knows what he's talking about. He knows what's good for us. And he's recommending, okay, all these other designations, all these other senses of identity are giving you problems. I'm going to give you back your original identity. Let's try it together. If you can repeat after me. We'll chant it a few times. Chaitanya Radasa Muni Chaitanya Radas. Chaitanya Radasa Muni Tanya Radasa Radas. Chaitanya Radasa Muni Chaitanya Radas. Chaitanya Radasa Muni Tanya Radasa Radas. Chaitanya Radasa Muni Chaitanya Radas. Chaitanya Radasa Muni Tanya Radasa Radas. I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya, a servant of Lord Chaitanya. I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya and a servant of his servants. Now, in the Vedic literature, whenever we want to make sure somebody understands something, we repeat it three times. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam. How many times? Four times? Two times? No, three times. Here, I am a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just to make sure we understand that we are servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, I want to remind you of why it's a good idea to be a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This one I'm sure you can identify with. Things that are very difficult to do become easy to execute if one somehow or other simply remembers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if one does not remember him, even easy things become very difficult. To this Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I offer my respectful obeisances. Sounds like a good reason to be his servant. Another one. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is always prepared to accept anything given with faith and love by his devotees, and is always, not sometimes, always ready to bestow mercy upon them. His patita pavana, he's always there to help us. Some days we have a very difficult start. We don't know how we're going to make it through the day. Isn't it? We all have these kind of days. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even a lame man can cross over a mountain and a dumb man can recite Vedic literature. So the day may start in a difficult way, but simply by remembering Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, life can become a lot easier. I find this myself. I have a lot of difficulty with my body these days. and it's quite often very difficult for me to be at the early morning program. Sometimes, especially if I do late night preaching, I only have a couple of hours rest, it's really tough. But I find that just by taking shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking shelter of the Six Goswamis, as I told you the other day, the first few rounds that I chant may be really, really difficult. But I keep trying. And then soon I'm chanting like I've had 8 hours rest. This is the potency of taking shelter. So always try and do that. So misidentification is a big problem, but now we have a little bit of an idea of how we can deal with that. If we are taking on the identity of being servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it doesn't mean that we stop being a good wife. It doesn't mean that we stop being a caring mother. In fact, it will mean that we become a better mother, a better wife. Whatever we're doing, we'll be doing better, because we're doing it under the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's such a small thing. But this is one of Maya Devi's big tricks to keep us from cleaning the heart, to keep us from tasting the holy name. If we have all of these papers over the heart, we can't even see anything. How can we relish it? How can we relish seeing the form of Krishna on the altar if we can't even see him? Is it possible? The heart is completely covered. So we are being given a chance here by Advaita Acharya. Okay, I'm going to help you. Stop all of this madness. You're not a woman. You're not a wife. You're not a mother. What are you? You're a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And your duty at this time is to be a mother, is to be a wife, is to be a proper woman, to be a chaste woman. These are your duties. They are not your designations. If somehow or other we can catch this, then when things come up in our life that are difficult and unusual circumstance, they won't create disturbance for us. I'll give an example. I have a friend in Calcutta. He's not a devotee, but he's helped me in many ways. He has a business that deals with Xeroxing. And as you can see, I Xerox a lot of paper in the course of my courses. And he's always been very, very helpful. He had 3 children. He's a very pious man. I've known him for many years. He had 3 children. His whole life, his whole meditation was how to make the best arrangement for these children. How he organized his business, which properties he bought, everything. The whole meditation was, how can I best serve my children? How can I make sure that they're properly taken care of? Those 3 children are now married, and all of them have moved out of station. They're very independent. They don't have any real interest in family. That man has become a chronic depressive. He's on medication for depression. He can't function. The doctors can't find anything physically wrong with him, but he can't function even physically. Can we understand what difficulties come from misidentification? So I humbly request you, Chaitanya Radas Sumuni, Chaitanya Radas, Chaitanya Radas Sumuni, Thamnarasya Radas. This is who we really are. So it doesn't mean that we stop, you know, we don't start walking around in the dhoti. We don't stop cooking for our husband. It doesn't mean any of these things. We'll do the services better. But inside we know who we really are. And we're not going to create disturbances for our chanting or our spiritual life in general. Is that okay? Any questions on that one? Okay, let's move on. And these are deadly tricks. These are tricks that Maya has. That means when we chant and we are captured by her tricks, that chanting is actually digging our grave. It's fixing, because it's not pure chanting. It's not even Nama Bas. We're locked in a conception of who we are. We had a look just now. Some people had green. Some people had yellow, orange, red. When we look at other people, we see them according to our vision. Aha, this person's red, but I'm green. I don't think we can get along. This person is Marwari. I'm Punjabi. We do things differently. This person's a Westerner. I'm an Indian. I don't really want to associate with these Westerners. They're such bad habits. Can you see how this also leads to aparad, Vaishnava aparad? Because we're discriminating on temporary designation. But if we develop the mood, Chaitanya das samuni, Chaitanya das, everybody is lovable to us. We can love everyone because we're all in the one family. We're all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's servants. It's such a unifying factor. No more of this petty fighting. This divisiveness. It's gone. Just by taking on this designation, I am Chaitanya's servant. So let's have a look at the next one. No ultimate goal. We all have our goals. We have a daughter who needs to get married. We have exams that need to be passed. We have children that have to be at school on time. So many goals we have. Nothing wrong with this. If we are planning our lives properly, if we are using intelligence, obviously we'll have goals. If we don't have goals, things are going to be a little chaotic, isn't it? So it's perfectly healthy and normal to have goals. It's a sign of intelligence, properly planned life. But if we're forgetting that ultimate goal is not a daily feature of our planning, then what's going to happen? These day-to-day goals are going to swallow us up. We're going to forget anything about Krishna. I'll give you an example. I do quite a lot of counseling, and I've been doing it for many years, so I've grown up with devotees. Many of the young girls that I've counseled since they were younger, they begin very enthusiastic, young brahmacharinis, chanting their rounds, everything very paka, very wonderful. And then they decide, I really want a nice Krishna-conscious husband. Krishna provides, they get married. The husband is very considerate, understanding. It suits the two of them. So no problem with that designation either. No trouble with the brahmacharini one. No trouble with the wife, because the husband is a very good husband. But then the children come. Now I'm a mum. Now, if I'm designating myself as a mother, if I'm identifying as a mother, I don't have time for anything else. Isn't it? Because the husband, the considerate Krishna-conscious husband, he'll understand your needs. Okay, I know she needs to go to the temple now. I know she needs to chant her rounds. She's going to be busy all day in the house. So I'll take care of the children in the morning so she can come to the temple. All sorts of arrangements can be made. But then the children come, the children don't think like that. They're young, they're dependent, they have so many needs, isn't it? So we're identifying as mum. We forget about being a brahmacharini. Even our husband starts to complain. Giving so much care to that child, what about me? I also need to eat. I've seen this happening. It happens like that. The mother becomes, and it's natural. The material nature arranges things like this. Because if we don't have that depth of love for the child, how is the child going to grow up? It's completely hopeless. Somebody has to be really loving that child, really taking care of that child. So it is a natural thing that you feel like that. But if we're losing sight of the goal, it's going to get to a point where we can't take anymore. I've seen it. Mataji, what do I do? What do? I love this job, but I get so frustrated. I get so tired. I've been up all night doing this, doing that. I can't take anymore. Mataji, sometimes I even hit my child. I love my child, but sometimes I hit my child. I feel so bad after I've done it, but I do it. Now, if we have the right identification, I am Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's servant, and my goal is Krishna, then we can have a different perspective on how we deal with that child. Isn't it? We'll still love the child, but we will understand that loving that child means I have to somehow or other make time to chant my 16 rounds. This is my source of sanity in being a mother and taking care of this child. I have to make these arrangements. It may mean that the child goes to a friend. We have a swap system. We'll make arrangements so that I can maintain my Krishna conscious sanity as a mother. But this will only happen if we're remembering who I am and that I have a higher goal. It's an important goal to raise a child properly. Both Srimad Bhagavatam, Manusmriti, many of our scriptures tell us you should not have a child, you should not be a parent, unless you can guide them back to Krishna. It's a big responsibility. We can't avoid that. We have to take it very seriously. But an important part of taking it seriously is having the right consciousness. So Chaitanya Radasa Muni. And what is the beautiful prayer that we can chant when we feel, oh, Krishna's tricking, not Krishna, Maya's tricking me. I'm forgetting what my real goal is. What one's going to help me with this? There's a very, very beautiful prayer by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Very, very beautiful. I'd like to share this with you. Now, another thing that we forget why we became a devotee. We forget the purpose of being a devotee. Sometimes we forget this. We have all sorts of other things. Oh, I have a daughter. She needs a good husband. I know these men. You know, someone from the temple, that will be a good husband for her. We start to come up with all of these other reasons why we're a devotee. Isn't it? We forget the main reason. And that's doing ourselves a real disjustice. So let's see. It's such a beautiful prayer. Please repeat after me. Ramadana Binabhyata Dadidra Jivan Dasakare Vetana More Deha Pramadan Pramadana Binabhyata Dadidra Jivan Dasakare Vetana More Deha Pramadan Pramadana Binabhyata Dadidra Jivan Dasakari Vetana More Deha Pramadan. Without love of Godhead, my life is useless. Therefore, I pray that you accept me as your servant and give me the salary of ecstatic love of God. Such a beautiful prayer. So if these just through these two prayers we can learn, and when we're in difficulty, when we feel we're being swallowed up and chewed very seriously by the material energy, we can remember these prayers. And because they're actually focused on Krishna, they're focused on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're focused on a person, that person will help us. Our mood is always to be aware that we are dependent. We're not going to achieve anything great by ourselves in Krishna consciousness. We have to remember, we talked about the beach, we talked about the ocean and where they meet, isn't it? Where they meet is where the most disturbance is. Here you have a very sheltered area of beach, just little ripples. You think, not a big thing. But you go to Puri and you see where they meet. Those waves have killed people. There was a devotee last year who was swimming in those waves. Strong man, 6'2" devotee. And the wave picked him up, threw him on his head, he's completely paralyzed. So this area is a very dangerous area where they meet. But this is where we are. we are called the Tathastha Shakti of Krishna, the marginal energy, where the two meet. So we have to, and we can't live without shelter. Because we're Tathastha or marginal, we can't live without shelter. So we have a choice. We can take shelter on the beach, the material energy, or we can take shelter in the ocean, where all the big fish like Rupa Goswami, Sanat Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, all these big fish, they swim around there. So we can take shelter. We have to make a choice. So if we are seriously wanting to chant, develop love for the holy name, become friends with the holy name, we have to consciously, daily, take shelter on the ocean side. Isn't it? So just another thought. If there's any questions on any of these points, please feel free to ask them. It's not a problem. Oh, this is a really, this is a real killer, this third one. Mad. Even the name tells you there's something interesting about this one. Material adjustment disease. Now, we understand that we do this all the time. We're constantly making adjustments. We are identifying so much with the conditioned side of our nature. When it's hot, what do? We turn on an AC. When our child is sick, what do? We get medicine. Constantly making adjustments. We're thirsty, we take something to drink, like this. This is natural, and in fact, it's advisable. Otherwise, you get very, very sick, isn't it? If we don't make the proper adjustments. Bombay, you have a lot of malaria. If you don't take some shelter against it, you're going to get very sick. So we do make these adjustments, no problem with that. But the problem is that Prabhupada, in a letter to Brahmananda in the early 70s, he said you should act as if everything depends on you, and you should pray as if everything depends on Krishna. This is a very important principle to remember. Act as if everything depends on you, but pray as if everything depends on Krishna. This means that in our service, whether it be as a mother, whether it be in business, we may be a doctor, so many things we may be. We may be having that service. It means in our active life, we should be very dynamic. We should be first class. Where we have the topmost product, we have the best organization, we want to be proper representatives of it. We want to be first class. No problem with that. But the other half is, when praying, remember that everything depends on Krishna. Our most important prayer is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's our most important prayer. So we have to remember that everything depends on Krishna. If we are thinking everything depends on us, it will show in how we chant our rounds. We start to feel sleepy, and we think, this is not good, I'm going to ignorance, I should do something about this, I should walk. Now, if you're not aware that the best way to deal with things is to depend on Krishna, this is not a bad solution. Because you're in ignorance, walking is passion, so at least you've come up a little bit. But the problem with being in passion is that it creates more distraction. Passion means activity. It's what you do during the day. So then what happens? You become interested in everything around you. You're walking up and down, get absorbed. Oh, yes, someone didn't clean over there too well. I better speak to that person. Oh, I should see this person. I've been looking for that person for some time. I should see them now. Oh, I forgot I have to ring my mother before 9:30. Become very, very, very reactive. Okay. So we understand that this is not the way to do it. Prayer time means dependence. So any adjustments that we have to make, we make before we start our chanting. For example, I can't sit on the floor. If I were to sit on the floor, I'd be in so much agony, I couldn't think of anything but my pain. So I sit on the chair. I make that adjustment before I start. I can't sit directly under a fan. It gives me headache. Fans are very bad for me. So I make that adjustment before I start my chanting. And when I start my chanting, it all depends on Krishna. I chant in that mood. So if I start to fall asleep, I'm not going to think, I have to get up, I have to walk, or maybe I'll just sleep. It was a late night last night. Nobody will notice. I'm not going to think like that. I'm going to start begging. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I need your mercy. You're the Lord of the impossible. I'm in an impossible circumstance. You have to help me. I'm your servant. Help me, please help me. I'm putting my head on your feet. I'm not taking them off to you. Help me. Please help me. So whenever we are feeling this, don't try and make material adjustments. Prabhupada says that we should chant like a child calling out for its mother. This is one time when the child is very focused. Is there any inattention in that child when it's calling for its mother? Fully focused. Anybody else comes, I don't want you, I want my mother. Nobody else, I want my mother. Isn't it? We want to chant like that. That means when all these other things come, sleep comes. Oh, my dear friend, you're very tired. I'll help you. Just take a little rest. No, I don't want you. I want my mother. And who is our mother? Our mother is Srimati Radharani. All of our devotional service is under the shelter of Srimati Radharani. Prabhupada says it in his Nectar of Devotion. We're calling out to her. Oh, Radha, please engage me in the service of your Krishna. Aren't we? So you try this. It will be very difficult in the beginning because we have such bad habits. We're so used to making material adjustments. Our conditioned side, that side of the muscle is very, very strong. Our spiritual side, our sense of dependence, of helplessness, is not at all strong. Because we've had bad experience with being helpless and being dependent, people don't treat us properly. But Krishna is not like that. Krishna will say, oh, you need help. Okay, take my hand. Okay? So this is a very important thing. It will be difficult to begin with. But especially if we're trying to get rid of these, we're not allowing Maya to enter with these deadly tricks. We're working on these. We'll find that it'll take less and less time each day to adjust our chanting so that it's proper focused chanting. In our beginning time, we have to be patient. In the beginning, it may take some, it'll take time. But be patient. If I've had a stroke, I have to rebuild the arm every day, patiently, half an hour a day, I have to exercise this arm. It drives me crazy. I could be doing so many other things that I prefer to do, but what do I have to do? I have to exercise this arm. And I know it's for a good cause. This is the arm that worships Govardhan. This is the arm that worships my Shilas. This is the arm that waters Tulsi. I'd rather eat with this hand also. I have good reason why I do my 30 minutes a day exercise. So we have to think like this. Yeah? What do you think? Good idea? Okay. Let's move on. Mismanagement of the meaning of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is an interesting one. It's a very subtle trick that Maya Devi uses. We sit down and we want to be very, very, we're going to have a really good chanting session. So we think, the only prayer I'm going to have is, O Krishna, O Radha, you please engage me in the service of your Krishna. I'm just going to be chanting and praying like that. And then we start to think about all the things we have to do in the day. And the chanting goes on to remote. It's going on, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, but the mind is, oh yes, and I have to do that. This is wonderful. Krishna is so kind, he heard my prayer. I'm like, oh, there's all these notes. Whole day is planned by the end of the day. Oh, such a good chanting session. It was a terrible chanting session. Maya's tricked us. We think, it was so wonderful. I was fully concentrating, but you weren't concentrating on the holy name. So when we chant, or when we're thinking, oh Radha, please engage me in your service, your Krishna's service, and my service now is hearing the holy name. This is our service now. If we're hearing the holy name, then the holy name is Krishna. Krishna is a person. Persons speak. Persons speak. Primlila, do you speak? You're a person. You speak. We have conversations sometimes, don't we? So Krishna is a person. So when we get into the habit of actually hearing him, the ear is open, the ear is the door to the heart, then he may give us inspiration. In fact, definitely he will give us inspiration. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gives us a very good idea of how to discriminate between what is inspiration, what is the voice of the holy name, and what is the voice of the mind. He used to always carry a little pocket notebook in his kurta pocket with a pen. And when he was chanting, and of course he's a Sudanam Bhakta, so his chanting is of very high quality, he would get inspiration. So he would write that down, put it back in his pocket. He didn't let the mind think, oh, this is a wonderful idea. Let me think on this one, or what we can do with this one. Spend the whole rest of the session thinking about what we can do with that. No, he wrote it down, put it in the pocket. I'll think about it later. Went back to the chanting. Again and again, inspiration may come. In fact, it will come. We know that once we reach the stage of nishtha, then Krishna is going to force his way into our heart. We're not going to have to try and force ourselves to remember, I'm supposed to be concentrating on my japa. Krishna's going to force his way into his heart. His form will naturally appear there. We won't be able to get him out. I hope you like him, because you're going to be stuck with him. Huh? So it's like this. So when the starting stage is we're starting to get the inspirations, Krishna's sending us inspirations, don't say, no, I'm supposed to be just hearing my japa. Remember, Krishna's a person. People speak. You will get inspirations. Write them down, but don't let the mind run away with them. Put them away to the side. Think about them later, when you finish your chanting. Okay? Maya's very expert in her service. Who could have ever thought she, all these things she does. Next one, familiarity breeds contempt. Now, if we're coming to the temple often, we become very familiar with Tulsi Devi. We become very familiar with Srila Prabhupada. And for different reasons, we may start to think of them as part of the furniture. We're not so strict in paying our obeisances when we come, when they leave, when Tulsi goes out of the room, like that. But what we are actually doing is destroying our spiritual life. We have to remember that an attitude of gratitude is essential. If we want to advance in spiritual life, this attitude of gratitude is essential. We have to always remember, when we see Srila Prabhupada, this person has given me everything of value in my life. Without this person, my life would be a complete disaster. How can I ever not pay my obeisances to him, express my love for him in this way? Tulsi Devi, she's offering us so much shelter. She's a pure devotee of the Lord. If we think Prabhupada is a statue, statue. If we think Tulsi Devi is, just a plant, then what are we doing? We're cutting off their mercy. We don't pray to statues and to plants when we're in distress. Isn't it? You don't run out when you have a major difficulty in the house. You don't run out to your rose bushes and pray to them for help. You don't do that, do you? I don't think so. So if we start to think materially about Srila Prabhupada, we start to think materially about Tulsi Devi, we start to think materially about the devotees, in times of distress we're going to be in major difficulty. And one way that we can think about the murti of Prabhupada that will help us in dealing with this. Okay. We say, well, it would be different if Prabhupada was here personally. Then I could relate to him. He's just, he's made out of fiberglass. It's just material elements. But what are we made out of? What are we made out of? Our material elements. But we relate very nicely together, don't we? So if we're made out of material elements, Prabhupada's made out of material elements, but spirit is there, why can't we relate to him? Why can't we see that he's present? Why can't we see that Radha Gopinath is present? Something to think about. We always have to remember that taking initiation from the spiritual master Diksha, this is bound by time and this is bound by space. There's a date that you got initiated, a place that you got initiated. It's fixed. But Siksha, taking guidance, taking help, that is not bound by time and space. That is only bound by how much you are covered at heart. Prabhupada can advise you now. Vaishnavas never die. He can advise you now. So many great souls in our line can advise you now. It's a matter of your consciousness. So remember this. Siksha, taking shelter, taking advice, this is not bound by time and space. We can pray to these great souls and we can get answers. I think some of us from the nodding of the head, we've had experience of this, isn't it? Okay. So we've had a bit of a look at the tricks of Maya and how to deal with them. So, as I explained to you last week, this section of our journey is the most difficult. It's the longest. It doesn't have to be the longest, but if we're not aware of what we're dealing with, it can be quite a long distance. So we're at the position now of Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, and Artana Vritti, and we're wanting to go to Nista. So this long journey, have a think about how we prepare for long journeys. When we know that we have to travel from Bombay to Calcutta for the next yatra, it's going to be in Mayapur. How many hours is that? 36 hours? 36 hours. It's a long time, especially if you're traveling with children, isn't it? So how do we prepare for such a long journey? What are some of the things we do? Excuse me? Take a flight. Material adjustment. Because it's that's okay. That's no problem. But let me share with you some of the things I was thinking about in relation to this journey that we're making. In terms of our mindset, we need to be patient. Not that we get on the train and we want to get off at the next stop. We have to already have made up our mind, I'm going to stay on the train until it gets to Calcutta. Not somewhere in between, because I get frustrated. We have to have the patience. We have to have the enthusiasm to reach the goal. If we don't have this enthusiasm, we'll think, I'm not going to get on that train. It's a horrible, filthy, dirty train. All these crazy people with their tea bags and chai. Drive me crazy. 36 hours of chai. The bathrooms and toilets, oh my God, I can't stand it. So we have to be enthusiastic. We're thinking about the goal. I want to go to this yatra. I want to be with my Guru Maharaj. I want to hear what he has to say. I want to learn more about Mayapur. We have to be enthusiastic about the goal. And we have to be confident by the Lord's grace we will reach our goal. If we're a very timid person, very fearful person, we say, I'm not stepping out of the house. Kali Yuga is so dangerous. Maybe will there be a train accident. Don't you remember that big train accident, the Rajasthani big train? You remember that accident? That may have been my train. I'm not traveling on a train. So all these things are there. So the three things. Patience, enthusiasm to reach the goal, and confidence by the Lord's grace that we'll reach our destination. These are three things that are recommended by Rupa Goswami and Upadeshamrita as being essential for the execution of pure devotional service. These three items are there. So if we're wanting to chant with attention in a nice way, we need these kind of qualities to travel this journey. Good company and prasad, doesn't that make life a lot easier? Somebody you can have a, laugh and joke with, have a bhajan together, someone to look after the things while you go to the bathroom. Don't have to be in anxiety, somebody's going to steal it. All these things. Plenty of nice prasad, no anxiety about what you're going to eat. These things are important. And carefully you have to, not on a train, but if you're going by car, or going by your own endeavor, you also have to very carefully follow the roadmap. Now the beauty about traveling on a train is that you don't have to worry about that. You just buy a ticket that says Mumbai, Kolkata. And you get on the train and you know that you're going to reach your destination. This is something like getting on the ISKCON train. You buy a ticket, you know your destination, you just stay on the train, in nice association, nice prasad, everything is fine. Okay? Okay, so are we ready to make this trip? How many of us want to make this trip? Okay, very wonderful. So I suggest we make it together, it's a lot easier. We'll get the one compartment on the ISKCON train. Okay, how many of us have questions? Any questions that we'd like to have answered? Yes? If you are just hearing the glories of the holy name, I can agree with what you're saying, but I have gone out of my way to give you a specific process for how to chant. We've talked about the mindset, we've talked about the kind of prayers, the way to start, finish, our japa, all these things. So it may be a little difficult, but if you keep this formula, you won't lose it. This is a little bit different than usual, because we're talking about the process, how to follow the process. So, and keep in contact with each other. Those of you who've been coming for the last two workshops, share with each other, because we remember different things. You may think one thing that I've said is important, somebody else will think something else. And at different times, we'll need different kinds of information so we can help each other in that circumstance. It will take effort, but we have to be prepared to make that effort. That's on us. That's on our responsibility. Is that okay? Any other questions? That's very, very difficult. Certainly not the easiest thing that we can do. But you have some very wonderful recordings, both visual and audio, by Radhanath Goswami Maharaj. So we can take shelter of those. There's a very beautiful one of photos of Maharaj and bhajans called Journey with His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. It's very, very sweet. It's very nourishing to the heart. Also, we can be inspired by his lectures on the great souls, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, different acharyas. We can be inspired by his lectures on the different places of pilgrimage, Vrindavan, Puri, South India, like that. It is more difficult to stay enthusiastic when we're separated from the devotees. But we have to remember that if we actually desire it, we'll figure out a way. And if we're praying for it, we're not only desiring it, but we're praying for it, Krishna will make some arrangement. We may find that other devotees move into the same area, maybe even to the same building. So when we experience these difficulties, this is one of the difficulties that we have as living in Kali Yuga, is we tend to be very isolationist. When we experience our difficulties, we experience them alone. It's not in our nature to reach out, isn't it? It's just the way it is these days. But if you make that endeavor, when you're having some difficulty, open your heart to Radha Gopinath. Open your heart to your Guru Maharaj. Pray about it and take shelter. And then you'll find that they'll answer. The other thing is that we're living in an age where communication is not a difficulty. So those few times that you do manage to get to the temple, you meet friends, make sure you get the email. Make sure you get their telephone numbers. And then you can talk by phone. You can communicate by email. So there's lots of different ways that we can keep touch. We don't have to be out of touch. Is that okay? Any other questions? Yes. There will always be some disturbance because none of us are pure and we have different weaknesses that irritate, isn't it? I have weaknesses that irritate you, you have weaknesses that irritate you, like that. So the point is that if we can develop our true identity in the form of the mantra that I've given you, we practice that, we'll find that our world vision will change. Slowly, slowly it will change. And we won't be so concerned with the rubbish on the surface of the Ganges. What we're concerned about now is just the rubbish on the surface of the Ganges. We're not taking bath in the nectar of the Ganges because we're looking at the rubbish on the surface. What a great loss. So many wonderful devotees we can associate with. We're not associating with them because she's like that. Oh, did you see what she did? Or like, huh? But the point is that it's just rubbish on the top of the Ganges. Of course, if somebody is doing something that is highly improper, if we're in a position of authority, we have to deal with that. It's our responsibility to our Guru Maharaj and to Srila Prabhupada. If we see something that is highly improper and we're not in a position of authority, we can also deal with that in a way that means our mind won't be disturbed and we won't commit aparad. We may go to our counselor or our authority and say, I saw this, I feel it's very bad, how should I deal with this? Or, if we feel a little embarrassed to do that, we may go to Radha Gopinath and say, you know everything, you saw what I saw, but me seeing it means I'm implicated if I don't tell you, so I'm telling you, I put it at your feet. You do with it as you want. So in that way, because if we see things that are really bad, and we don't do anything about it, we become implicated in that bad activity. We have to do something. But we have to use our intelligence how best to do it. We don't want to become implicated in aparad. Because we know it will destroy anything that's growing in the heart. So we say, okay, maybe we feel comfortable to raise it with our counselor. Maybe we don't. If we don't, we can go and speak to Prabhupada, tell him about it. This is your movement, Prabhupada. I'm telling you what I saw. I'm not in any position to do anything about it, but I want you to be aware of it, and I'm praying for you to just take care of it. I'm putting it at your feet. Or we may go to Radha Gopinath, like that. Is that okay? Any other questions? My personal feeling is that it's better to concentrate on quality. And when we become very strong in our quality and we're actually starting to taste the holy name, then if we have the time, we can increase. But if we put it the other way around and we think, I want to increase my rounds, it has a tendency to decrease the quality. Then we're thinking, I have to chant so many rounds, I haven't got so much time. So then we become time conscious. We become how many rounds conscious. But this is not terribly useful because what we're trying to do is to build a relationship with the holy name. If you invite me to your home and you want me to take lunch, but you have only 7 minutes to take care of me, aren't you going to be in anxiety? And I'm going to get very bad indigestion. Isn't it? So we don't want to be in a rush. We want to be doing things in a way that we're concerned with the developing of the relationship. Not how many rounds, how much time. Krishna is a person. Holy name is a person. We're dealing with a person. We want to develop our relationship with them. So this is the important thing. Yeah. Very important to remember that our primary service to both our Gurudev and the Paramparaya is the chanting of the Holy Name. What vow do we take? We take a vow to chant. And the quality of our service and our consciousness in doing that service will be very much determined by the chanting, the quality of our chanting. What is the value of so much service if in doing it we're so passionate, we're so inconsiderate in our dealings with devotees? You know, so much focus on getting the service done, we forget we're dealing with devotees. What is the value of the service? So the main thing we have to do in this circumstance, and I can identify that the service is very important and that we take joy in doing that, but we have to somehow or other keep balance where we say, okay, like for example, I came here and I have other commitments that I have to fulfill while I'm here. I have responsibilities in Govardhan, in Vrindavan, Mayapur, so many things. So when I came here, devotees started inviting me for breakfast, lunch, dinner, inviting me to give Bhagavatam class, inviting me to do other night programs. And I thought about it and I thought, if I do that, I'm going to lose my focus. Prabhupada has brought me here to share the little I know about the chanting of the Holy Name. I have to keep my own balance. My chanting has to be good. And I have to keep the focus that Prabhupada has given me. So we can refuse service without creating offense. We can say, please excuse me, Prabhu, but if I do this, I'm going to have a lot of difficulty even getting my rounds done. Or we can say, my health is not so good. I can't get up as early as I would like. So I need this time. Please forgive me, Prabhu, but I need this time for my japa. Or my child is sick now. I really, really like to do this service, but if I do it, I can't look after my child, Andre, chant my rounds, and these are the two most important things I have to do right now. So we have to, you know, prioritize. We have to set some kind of balance for ourselves. There's a very important thing that many devotees, they have a misconception about. They think it means to be a devotee just to do everything you're told to do. Huh? We fall into this illusion, this trap. That, you know, it just means that I become a robot and I just do everything. But it doesn't mean that. We're here voluntarily. We're here because we want to develop our love for Krishna. So we have to make conscious choices. We have to make conscious choices. I know this will please my Guru Maharaj. My Guru Maharaj is a Sudanam Bhakta. If I please him, I know my chanting will improve. I would love to do this service, but I have to work out a way that I can do it without it disturbing my daily chanting. It may mean, for example, perhaps you have to assist your husband and the altar by doing some services. Huh? You may have to do that. So that means the night before you may have to undergo a little austerity. Eat lighter. Try and take rest a little earlier. If you eat lighter, take rest earlier, you'll get up earlier. You can chant some rounds before you come to the temple, like that. Or if you can't do that, nature of your service is such you have to be up late. Okay, then you think, all right, this morning I have to be with my husband, I have to help him on the altar, I have this responsibility. But I'm going to go home and I'm going to give myself from 10 to 12. No phones, these mobiles are a real trap. I refuse to have a mobile. I don't know how many people... I said, Mataji, I'll buy you a mobile. So what are you trying to do, kill me? I don't want a mobile. Such a distraction. Huh? So we say, okay, I have to do this. I want to do this. I want to assist my husband in his service to Radha Gopinath. But I also have to chant my rounds. It's my priority. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to go home, maybe take a half an hour's rest, a little breakfast, get up, refresh myself, 10 to 12. I'm not answering any phones. I'm not answering any doors. I'm just going to chant my rounds. In Vrindavan, quite often there are so many devotees coming through from all the places in the world, especially Kartik time and Gopurnima time. This is a secret. but I'll share it with you. It'll make the point very clear what extreme you have to go to sometimes to keep your sanity in terms of your chanting. It got to a stage that I had people on my door night and day during that period. Kartik is a time when I want to spend a lot of time with the holy name. It's a wonderful time to chant extra rounds. But constantly, people, 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 wonderful devotees, devotees I haven't seen for a long time. One side of me is saying, this is wonderful, I want their association. The other side is saying, what about my relationship with the holy name? So the way I dealt with this, and don't tell anybody otherwise, I'll be in big trouble. The way I dealt with this is we have a solid door at the front. On the outside of that, I built screen doors. Those screen doors from the outside look like normal screen doors. But from the inside, they have a little section where you can open it. And then you can put your hands through, you can lock it. Then you can close it. Because I tried signs, please do not disturb. I tried everything. Tuck, 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 tuck. Mataji, what is the sign on the door? I haven't seen you for 3 months. Give me some time, but give me a break. How can I refuse if a devotee approaches me like that? But if I need, no, I'm tired, I'm sick, I need some time just to chant my rounds. So nowadays I just put my hands out, I lock the door, close it. People come, oh, Mataji's not here. No one's offended, Mataji's not home. But Mataji is happily inside chanting a japa. So we can think of ways that make life more tolerable. Give us a break. Is that helpful or you need some further clarification? Is there anything in particular that you wanted to raise with that? Yeah, sure. You know, don't be what we call a circumstantial thinker. Circumstantial thinker means we only think in terms of the circumstances we're in. They shape our thinking. Don't be a circumstantial thinker. Be a proactive thinker. That means you walk into a circumstance and you think, how can I best use this circumstance? How can I best adjust this circumstance to meet my Krishna conscious needs? For example, when I came in here this evening, a couple of us, when we walked into here this evening, they'd opened these doors and they were doing something with the marble. And the fumes, my God, so intense. So if I'm a circumstantial thinker, we put up with the fumes. But if we're proactive and we're thinking all of these Matajis are going to come, they're going to get sick just from breathing in these fumes. So we better close those doors. Simple thing. We walk in, there's no chairs. Takes 20 minutes to get them, but we know some devotees need them. So we make the effort. Not, oh, no chairs, okay, Mataji's going to sit on the floor. Bad luck. I've got my chair. Not like that. So circumstantial, one way. It's not very productive. But proactive. Walk into the circumstance. How can I best use this circumstance or adjust this circumstance for my Krishna consciousness and for the benefit of others? Like that. Anything else? Yes. Please come forward a little because we won't be able to hear from you. Is that okay? If you're seriously ill, then it's not a good idea to try and force yourself up to get up early in the morning. This is actually how I had my second stroke, because I was doing a lot of marathon preaching, and I had the first stroke. It was purely through over-endeavor. And then, by Prabhupada's grace, Krishna's grace, I recovered quite quickly from that. But the doctors, they warned me. They said, no timetables. No early morning rising, no pressurized service for minimum 3 years. After 6 months, I thought, I'm okay. I'm attached to Mangalati. I'm going back to Mangalati. Especially I was attached to Prabhupada's Mangalati in Vrindavan. So beautiful. So I started going. After a few weeks of that, I had a second stroke. And it incapacitated me for a long, long time. So we have to use our intelligence. I didn't, and I suffered the result. So if we do have health problems that mean we can't get up early, then we just arrange our schedule so that we chant when it suits us. It may mean that our chanting time on a regular basis is 10 to 12 in the day. What is the problem with that? The main thing is to keep it at a regulated time where you can be peaceful and chant. And if it suits your health needs and your circumstance to chant from 10 to 11, do it. No problem. No problem with that. Because if we're going to have to look at our circumstances as we get older, isn't it? We have Kali Yugian bodies. We're not Goswamis. Even at this age, some of us can't sit on the floor, let alone sit in lotus position. So we make these adjustments. But we don't make the adjustments to our consciousness. We don't let Maya trick us in this way. Use our intelligence, but don't be tricked by these things that we discussed. Yes? I don't know whether you were here when we discussed this. We can do that, but it's not the best thing to do. The best thing to do is to get into a mood of prayer where we're not depending on our own strength. We're depending on Krishna to help us. It makes a lot of sense for a lot of reasons. One reason is that we're not going to get younger, we're going to get older. And it's become more and more difficult to control the movements of the body. So if we strengthen the spiritual side, death is not going to be a problem because we've taken full shelter of Krishna. Death is going to come as Krishna. But if we are depending on material adjustments, Krishna is going to come as death. It's going to be a very difficult thing. Because what's going to happen is, as the body becomes old and broken down and everything, and we've been relying on making adjustments, material adjustments for our chanting, and we can't do that anymore because the body is breaking down, the consciousness is going to collapse into the body. That's what's going to happen. Do we want that? So better that we, even though it's going to be a little painful and a little frustrating and embarrassing in the beginning, we want to be stretching this muscle, getting this spiritual muscle strong again. Prabhupada talks about the green coconut. When you shake it, it's just, all you can hear is the water inside. But the ripe coconut, you can hear that the little kernel inside is separated from the fiber and it's rattling. So if we take spiritual shelter, we become strong spiritually, then it's like we're inside the body but we're not attached to it by all these things we talked about. False identification, no ultimate goal, all these things. So we're fixed. We're not so much affected by the body. It's there for us. We can actually achieve this, not by our own endeavor, but by the mercy of our disciplic succession of Srila Prabhupada and Guru. Let's have another kirtan. This evening, while the kirtan's going on, if we can pass around this little bag, I thought it would be nice this evening to have some Mayapur prasad, because Mayapur is where the marketplace of the holy name is most strong. Nice to have some mercy from there. And tonight, it's not prayers. It's little statements about the glories of the holy name. I want you to pray because there may be different aspects of the holy name that we have doubts about or that we're not aware of. So many things. So still pray to the Lord of your heart. Give me the message that I need now. Okay? And if this bag could go around, and the little cellophane pieces could come back in here with the clips on them. Would you like to lead a kirtan?
Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.